What's up, everyone? I'm down here in Mexico right now with Gio and just quickly editing up this Mentor Series podcast that we just recorded with Rohan Gilks. Rohan has self-coined the nickname the Bootstrapped Stuntman because he's literally grown over four different businesses doing millions of dollars per year in each one of them. And the coolest part, in my opinion, is that he's done it over several different categories like software, e-commerce. He even had a service businesses in maid cleaning. And we talked about everything's like, you know, what's better, having one big income stream versus having many income streams coming in. We talk about like, would he get a job again, knowing what he knows now, you know, who he gets inspiration from, and a whole lot more. So this is another early episode into the Mentor Series. Let us know what you guys are thinking about these episodes. And without further ado, here is Rohan. You're listening to the Next Generation Podcast.
Weekly interviews with the most interesting and successful 20-somethings out there.
We are live. Rohan, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I know myself and Gio have been really interested in interviewing you for a long time. Like I said, I think when I was a freshman in college, I first came across some of your Reddit threads where you're just dropping so much knowledge on how to start a business. I think this is the Wet Shave Club and all that kind of stuff. So now to be actually interviewing you, it's definitely coming full circle for me, which is really cool.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that was a really fun time on Reddit. I learned so much and met so many cool people. Yeah, really fun.
A cool community there. So let's get right into it. I got like a bunch of questions that I think people would be really interested in knowing. I was asking some of my friends who also follow you what they would want to hear. So the first thing that I want to talk about is right now you run, I believe it's four different businesses, correct?
Yeah, I actually sold one of them, so I'm down to three now.
Oh, nice. Which one did you sell? Can you say that out loud? Or?
Yeah, I sold Launch 27 as a software business for small local service businesses.
Oh, nice. Congrats on the exit.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
Well, so the reason I wanted to kind of start there, though, is because I think these days, especially in 2021, everyone talks a lot about make multiple income streams and like diversify where your revenue is coming from and like start many businesses. But then I've started to hear a couple more things where, you know, you've got other people saying, nope, like start with one business and go all in on that and grow that business until, you know, you can't anymore. I'd love to know if you were back in your 20s today or just getting started off in business. I know you started after your accounting job. Would you recommend people going and optimizing and testing a bunch of different products and services, and, you know, trying to go and just do whatever they can and see what sticks? Or would you be more focused on like just really going all in on one thing?
Yeah. So I definitely, if I were to look back right now, I would say I would go all in on one thing. It's kind of like, I think of business like raising a baby. I mean, it's kind of maybe a bad analogy. I don't have any kids, but there is a real high difficulty level to building a successful business. So I'm like, well, do I want one baby or do I want twins right now? And I got to deal with both of them by myself. Right. So I see it like that. People forget the serial entrepreneur part. They forget the serial, like it's one after the other. So I like to focus on one thing, try to get as big as possible. And then maybe you can kind of exit by hiring people to manage it or exit by selling it and then moving on to the next thing. That's what I would do if I were starting over. Yeah.
And for you personally, like when do you know that it's time to go and exit or move on to something? Is it like basically whenever your interest kind of dies out on it a little bit or like when you get to a certain part in revenue?
Yeah. So when I get to around the $1 million mark, I'm like, okay, this is something that would be interesting to other people. And then that also helps me to make a decision on if I want to get rid of it or I can get rid of it by hiring someone and just collect a paycheck every month or whatever. So that's kind of how I did it. But really and truly, is to answer your main question, at some point, I kind of get bored too. So I'm like, do I want to just be working the same systems all over again? And I kind of want to move on to something else. So the more formal way, if I were looking back and I were 20 years old, would be, you know, like $1 million a year for me, that kind of makes a difference. So I kind of choose that money point, but is also associated with if I feel bored or I'm excited about the company. Yeah.
Right. That makes sense. Now, the next question I had is you've started a lot of different businesses, like everything from maid services to subscription businesses to SaaS. Like you've kind of done it all, and it probably means starting over a lot of times in terms of like learning the skills and all of that. Like, how would you go and compare the difference between starting these types of businesses and where would you recommend people start if they wanted to go and get involved into one of those three types of businesses?
Oh man, excellent question. So if I were starting over, the easiest business I've ever built are service businesses. So a maid service, like any type of service business where you can remove yourself from actually providing the service and actually hire people or outsource or get contractors or whatever. Easiest business to build for me based on my experience building all these different types of business. The hardest one for me was a product business. Because with product businesses, what you're selling is something that you actually have to acquire before you sell it. With a service business, you don't have to acquire anything. You can just have some person agree to do the work and you can pay them after. Product businesses, the cash flow runs in the wrong direction. And I don't like logistics and warehousing and shipping and product design and packaging and return. That stuff sucks. So
yeah.
That would be the last.
That makes sense. I was going to say, I run a couple of e-commerce businesses right now, and it's like December 17th when we record this. And I will say, like, I am in the thick of it post Black Friday, Cyber Monday, like answering the million emails saying, will this arrive before Christmas? And I'm like, maybe, like it might. I certainly hope it will.
Exactly. You know exactly what I'm talking about, bro.
Yeah. No, that's really good advice, though. I feel like from the service business standpoint, it's probably the best one to start without a lot of capital. And I think when I think of like the e-commerce and product-based businesses, I think where a lot of people, especially my age, kind of get mixed up is they see this really sexy D2C packaging, the branding, the cool websites, and they're like, oh, this is a marketing game. And it's certainly true to some degree, but what they don't see is the supply chain, is the fact that every month you're growing means you have less cash to go and buy more stuff. Because if you sold 30 products this month, that means you're probably going to sell 40 next month if you're still growing. Then I have to go and buy 40 products, right? So your cash conversion cycle gets totally messed up. And I think that's kind of where you're hitting at, right?
Growth is painful with products.
Yeah, that's a better way of saying it. Very cool. Now, I think the next question I really kind of wanted to dive into is like, aside from crypto, because I don't know if you're even very involved in crypto at all. I'm mostly just saying this because I think about it's a little over talked about these days, and I don't really want to kind of get too deep into like that rabbit hole here. But like, what industry or area would you recommend someone in their 20s get involved with today to earn and learn a lot over the next 10 to 20 years?
Oh man, that's a fantastic question.
Thank you.
So right now I am liking still, I mean, if I were thinking about investing, I'm like more like electric cars and transportation. Trucking right now is insane. If you are some person that can provide support for truckers, it's wide open. Like most of that business is still run on fax machines.
What does that mean, provide support for truckers? Like,
there's like dispatch support, meaning that's where the truckers go to get their jobs, their agents, their brokers that kind of like make the deals. And then there are people that provide software packages for them to run their entire operations. All this. Huh. So like one of the biggest industries in the country, and it's still being run by fax machines. So that's wide open.
That's crazy. Yeah, because I feel like going back to the e-commerce stuff we're talking about, I follow the CEO and CTO of Shopify, and they're always talking like, you know, e-commerce is growing 30% this year. And I guess what a lot of people don't see is all like the 3PL, third-party logistics, and all the operations that go on behind it. And I would imagine the truckers are like the crux of all of those operations.
Exactly. You can't get anything done without them.
Yeah.
They move it, and there's so much money to be made, bro.
Yeah, that's really cool. Okay, that's like a really good answer to that one. The next thing I add here is like, when you coach a lot of people, right? Or at least at the very least, you offer a lot of content to go and help people go and get started in their business journey, right?
Yes, I definitely do. Through Reddit and Facebook and Twitter, and then we have like a little program too where people come through and we do Zoom calls. So yeah, I enjoy that part of it as well.
Now, what's like the biggest mistake would you say that you see a lot of first-time founders making? Because for a lot of people who are listening to this podcast right now, they're kind of in this position where like either they're just starting something or they're, you know, they got a notepad full of ideas and they want to start something. And I know this is like a pretty broad question because it can apply to anything from SMB to software to e-commerce, but I'd love to know if there's one rule of thumb that kind of covers them all that a lot of people mess up with. And every time you talk with them, you're like, no, just do this.
Yeah. Yes, one of the main things that I try to remind people is if you wait until it's perfect, it's too late. Mm. You gotta get the thing out, sell it, sell whatever you're making, sell it. So with software, I pre-sold it before the product was even done. I pre-sold
it. No way.
Yeah. I was like, hey, if you guys sign on now for like 40% of my final price, I'm going to lock you in at that price and you will get all the updates free forever. And I used that much capital to build the software. So I kind of put it out to the market before it was even ready. Same thing with you know, my service businesses and product businesses. It's like the whole chain doesn't have to be right. The website doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to overdo and overthink everything. Sell once, get something sold. And that's why I have to get people that get on calls with me. I'm like, yo, how many have you sold? Oh, well, you know, I've been working on it for 9 months. I'm like, bro.
Yeah. You're like, let the market decide if they actually want this or not.
Put it out, man.
Yeah. That's cool. That's good advice.
Yeah. After you start to make some money, you can make it better.
Right. Yeah. Very good point. Yeah. I feel like everyone always sees these really sexy, like SaaS products or e-commerce businesses. And they're just like, shit, like they're seeing like a 3-year in product and they're like, I need to make that on day one. When in reality, they didn't see like the terrible landing page and all the bugs that were in the software from day one, really.
Exactly. That's exactly how we did it. And we had that same experience. We had bugs. We had an ugly website. The sign-on wouldn't work properly sometimes. The chat wouldn't work. But we were selling.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the main emphasis. That's cool. All right. I got two more questions and then we can start wrapping things up here. The first one I've got is when I was reading a lot about like your background, and correct me if my dates are a little bit wrong, this is just what I was reading online. It sounds like after you pretty much started your career with like 12 years doing corporate accounting. Am I roughly right on that?
Spot on, bro. Yeah, spot on.
So like in hindsight, like now when I see you and the things that you're doing, you know, you got like the tag of like bootstrap stuntman, which I love it because like you're out here like hustling on all these different businesses and you're making them happen, you're growing them. But I feel like people who have jobs these days get like a lot of slack for like, nah, man, like you shouldn't have a job. You should go and like start a business or whatever. Like in hindsight, was getting a job the right move for you? Because now I'm sure you probably understand finances better than anyone else who works with your business. But like, would you have changed things looking back on it?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a wonderful question. So looking back, getting a job was the right thing because getting a job, like my job was my investor. I had no say, I believe in you, Rohan. Here's $20,000. Go make it happen. Like, where was that going to come from? So my job investor, every paycheck, I took some money and like, see, okay, let me find this developer on some website that will help me get my website up. Next paycheck. Okay. Let me get my designer. Next paycheck every single time. So my job was my investor for the whole time. And it allowed me to try and fail and try and fail and try and fail until I found my first company that worked. And that company has now done over $15 million. And I started it from just a piece of one of my paychecks. Yeah. So definitely, if you can, I mean, if you have massive resources where you can just quit and go live in Bali and work on your business, I mean, that's more power to you. But I never had that. So I had to stay at my job until I could make it happen. Yeah.
Damn, that's a really good answer. Because like I said, I feel like most people like will give it a ton of like slack or like, or just be like, no, like you shouldn't be doing that if your goal is to start a business. But that's a very, very well said answer. The last question I've really got here, and this is kind of like where I think it comes full circle for me, is, and I don't think many people listening to this podcast really know this, but like when Gio, my co-host, and I, when we were freshmen in college, like we saw your Reddit thread all about like, you know, your subscription box business and how you grew it, and like you really like ran through the entire case study. And I couldn't find it again before this podcast. So maybe I'm wrong about this, but I thought you also had a Facebook group called Groove Learning, if I'm correct on that.
Sorry, you were frozen for like the last 15 seconds. Oh,
You're good. We'll edit this out afterwards. But I was saying, I think you also had a, I thought you also had like a Facebook group called Groove Learning. Is that correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just remember like my freshman year of college, reading your Reddit thread, you know, joining that Facebook forum, like all of this stuff really inspired Gio and I to kind of like take the leap into entrepreneurship. And like, I'm sure you don't really know the story, but like we basically grew an Amazon FBA business up to doing like over $1 million in sales and selling it before we graduated from college. So like it drastically changed our life just from like this little bit of content and community that you put together years ago that like, you know, you probably don't even realize that like it changed people's lives as much as it did. I would love to know personally for you, is there any piece of content, whether it's a book, a podcast, a YouTube channel, wherever it is, that like you've read either years ago or you consume on the daily that really changed the way you think and the way that you run your businesses?
Man, oh man, thank you. First off, thank you so much for mentioning group learning. And this is really cool to hear that you were in there and you guys made it happen. So that's, man, you made my day with this. Yeah, when I look back, the thing that got me started going down the path with services, I never did not go down the path with services, I couldn't have done anything else, was this guy called Shoe Money. Shoe Money, I don't know if you remember him, his name was Jeremy Shoe Money. And at the time, he was doing like he took affiliate marketing, which was like the traditional affiliate e-commerce type marketing, and he moved it to local services. So he would go to dentists and say, hey, I can get you 30 people coming through your door. How much would you pay me per person? And then he would set up a dental website and SEO it and Google AdWords and all that. So I saw that and he was killing it. And he posted one check for like $300,000. I was like, oh, I'm going to try this. That's what got me into trying about local services. I first started with an electrician. Then I was like, okay, not great. Then I tried cleaning. I was like, oh, this is working. And then that led me to be able to quit my job and then start to build other businesses. That guy was the guy that kind of got me going. Yeah.
That's so cool. And also hearing you tell the story, like I just bought a self-storage facility 3 months ago and just signed up for this one company called Sparefoot, which basically it's like affiliate marketing essentially for storage facilities. Like they go and like basically guarantee that they'll fill up your storage facility. But they, you know, if they fill up one unit that charges $100 a month, their fee is on a performance basis and they charge $200 a month or $200 is a flat fee to fill up that unit. So there's a ton of money to be made out there. And that's really cool to hear that he influenced you that much.
Yeah, dude, I like that that self-storage story because I want to try some self-storage next year too. So I may have to hit you up.
Dude, hit me up. Absolutely. We're running the playbook down in Texas and it's working quite well. And I'm sure that you'd be able to kind of add your own twist to it as well. So anytime you want to chat, you got my number.
Appreciate it, bro.
Cool, Rohan. Well, let's wrap it up here. This was an awesome episode. I feel like just in a short amount of time, I got a ton of information out of it. If people who are listening to this right now want to hit you up, ask questions, follow you, where can they go and find you?
Yeah, so everything for me is Rohan Gilt. So R-O-H-A-N. G-I-L-K-E-S. So RohanJiltz.com, Rohan Jiltz on Twitter, Rohan Jiltz on Instagram, Rohan Jiltz on Facebook.
Awesome, Rohan. Appreciate it. The time today, man.
Thank you, bro.